BSing with
who?
BSing with
what?
BSing with Sean Kay. BSing with
who?
BSing with
what?
BSing with Sean Kay. BSing with
who?
BSing with
what?
BSing with Sean Kay.
So welcome to BSing with Sean Kay. I'm your host Sean Neese. On this show, I talk to people pursuing their creative and intellectual passions from all walks of life. And on this episode, I'm talking to Catherine Dunn. She is an actress, comedian, and the host of The Catherine Dunn Show. So thank you for coming on, and I'll let you take the floor and further introduce yourself.
Oh, why, thank you. Thank you for, I heard your name correctly the other day when you apparently butt dialed me. My machine said Sean Neese is calling, and I was like, oh, I've been saying that wrong.
Oh wow. Oh, so the machine knew how to pronounce my name then.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I feel quite silly.
well some people think it's like Kanise or Nisi or something like that, but Neese, like, yeah, I'm always surprised when people get it right though, like, because a lot of people would know the silent K, but
it makes perfect sense. But I was like, oh, it's probably something crazy. Like one of these, like you got to work hard. Like it's going to be Kanise or Nisi. Like, yeah. Kanise. I didn't even know. It was like, I probably went Kanise. I probably went all out. Like just let's pull all the stops.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's why I just figured Sean K was easier for the show, because it's just like easy to remember Sean K. So.
It works.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got Catherine Dunn, I guess, which is kind of easy to remember. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one though, apparently. So.
Oh, I have seen other. Yeah, I saw there was another Catherine Dunn on YouTube that's like been interviewed about stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because she's almost the opposite. Like blonde hair, brown eyes, cheerleader.
So how did you, I guess, just tell us about how all the stuff you do and like how you got into it.
Wow. I don't know. I think it's just something. You did it as a kid too, right?
Well, like pretend stuff.
Yeah, and then you just never grew out of it.
Pretty much. Yeah. Imagine it, using your imagination, and yeah. And then as an adult, you try to find ways. Then you trying to find ways to use your imagination in a lucrative way, I guess.
Well, if you're a smart adult, you try to find ways to use your imagination in a lucrative way. And if you're a ridiculous adult like myself, you just find ways to just continue to use your imagination.
Yeah.
How do you, I should learn something from you. Teach me how to do it in a lucrative way. But yeah, just that, you know, like I even had this toy radio thing that I would make radio with like sound effects and like do like sci-fi stuff. You know, that my grandfather got me.
Yeah, I did something like, similar too with like toys. Yeah. Like I'd have the Sean show and stuff as a kid, and now it's the BSing with Sean K show as an adult. So
do you have footage like or
no, I mean I have the movies I made as a kid when I was like Tyco video camera, when I'd run around and like
do
videos with the toys, and then I'd play different characters, I'd put on a wig and I'd be like, oh no, and stuff like that.
I need to see this.
Yeah.
Like one of your episodes should just be you showing that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It'd be like a video only episode. Or Yeah. The audio listeners might be a little confused, but
well, I don't know. I like doing visual radio, so I'm a monster.
Yeah, because we were I used to be with Radio Free Brooklyn too, and you were Radio Free Brooklyn too. Is that where you got your start with your show, or
it was something that I came up with before, and then I did something completely different with Radio Free Brooklyn, and then during the pandemic it became what it is, which is some hybrid of things. But yes, that is how it wouldn't exist if I wasn't doing the show before the pandemic, and then kind of finding using my imagination to find a way to continue to do it throughout the pandemic.
Yeah, but so what is this show's kind of like, I've listened to some of it, it's like shooting the shit kind of like this with like different, do you have different guests or like what's the format?
Well, it's changed over time. So originally the format was I would be late and then somebody would host my show for me. It was a character played by me, but it was also storytelling. So honest, true storytelling hosted by a ridiculous person, character. I don't know. That was like the original thing. Then I don't know, it kind of like just shifted into just me and my co-host kind of whatevering, then me and my partner kind of whatevering, then just different people coming in and whatevering live. Like, it was just, you know, there were call-ins and whatever would happen would happen. And then during the pandemic, I was almost forced to like listen to it, and I was like, I am not entertained. So I had to change it, and I was forced to like try and entertain myself. I don't know.
So now you're trying to switch it with more of a theme. Before it was just more talking about whatever.
Yeah, like I would just go in and we would exist on air for an hour, you know. And then during the pandemic, I wanted it to feel like here's a conversation that's existing for an hour, and that was it. And then I kind of added formats to it, like started adding segments, because I was like, oh, I want to do this, want to try this. I don't know why. I don't know if it was like I want it to be like this thing that I came up with a long time ago, but I started doing segments, I guess to entertain myself, because I was listening to it and I'm like, I don't like this. This is boring me. Like, so I don't know. And then I did a birthday show. Every year I do a birthday show in real life, or I would do a birthday show in real life, where people would come and ask me questions, and I would answer the questions for the entire, however long the show lasted, would be me answering the questions that the people came and wrote to be answered. And I loved it. I actually got the idea because I saw my friend Dan Abrams do it. Not that one, just another Dan Abrams. Do it. And I was like, oh, that's brilliant. And I asked him, I'm like, can I do this thing? Because I like it. And he was like, yeah, I don't care. I was like, cool. I don't even know if he remembers this conversation because it was so long ago, but I've been doing it ever since. And it's Catherine Dunn turns 21.
Oh, nice.
Which is how old I am, no matter how many times I've done the show. but yeah, then that, I had a bunch of people on to do it, and it felt weird to even talk about yourself during a pandemic. It's like, I just don't want it. I don't want to do this. It's just like, why? But my friend's like, do it. And this is my good friend, Elaine. And I was like, all right, fine. She thought I was depressed, 'cause I'm like, there's no point. Like, why I wouldn't, you know, like, she thought I was like saying like, there's no purpose to having a party. Like, what's there to celebrate? And I was just saying like, no, it just seems so self-indulgent to talk about oneself right now when everything is so crazy in the world. But then it was posed as like, well, what if you give people a like ticket to imagination land for a minute, you know, instead of not, you know, instead of like,
you mean dealing with reality. It's like an escape from what was going on, kind of like, just so you tell like funny, it sounds like you do a lot of experimenting with the show, like trying different things, kind of. Yeah,
I definitely experiment a lot. Let's call it that. Can't commit. Experimenting, yeah. Sure. But that was, yeah, I just wanted it to feel like hanging out in real life. Like, it felt like hanging out in real life, even though we were all in our weird little boxes in our own personal spaces and like, you know, our own environments. It felt to some degree like we were hanging out in real life again.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, one of the appeals of podcasts is that kind of like conversational feel. I think that's why there's like the picture of the guy listening to the podcast, like he's looking at this picture of people talking. It's like what it feels like listening to a podcast. Like he's listening, but he can't join in. Like,
like Double Dutch, but he never gets to play.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of the same with my show. Like, you know, gradually, organically developed. Like, just like, but for me, it was always like a different guest each week that I talked to. So I guess like, I guess it, for me, it's always been a way to kind of get out of myself, like, and out of my head, like to learn about somebody else and like kind of talk to them about what they do and everything. But yeah, it's been a wide variety of people on the show though. So
what do you look for when you choose, like when you're asking someone?
I guess like out of the box. I mean, I guess like, well, you're like a lot of the guests, like, I guess like just kind of like doing the comedy thing out, like outside the box, I guess. Or like recently before this, it was like a painter, and she also like does guitar, and she's like a metal person. Or like a while ago, like a psychic who does tarot readings and also like does other things as well. Just, or like this one guy who's an actor, and he like he saw a UFO on his reservation. He's Apache. He saw a UFO on his reservation. So just like people with, you know, unusual perspectives, that kind of thing.
I would want to hear that. What episode, do you know offhand what episode that is. That's crazy.
It was like not too long ago. It was like a year ago or so. But if you go back, it'll say like UFOs and all that. Like I've been putting the topics that are discussed to kind of draw people in.
That's smart. I definitely did not do anything enticing with any of it. I should have. Smart.
Yeah, I think it takes a while to like find your voice and like what you want to do and that kind of thing. Like sometimes it takes a lot of trial and error. That's what's cool about like, I guess like with your own show, like that's kind of what it sounds like you were doing, is like you didn't know exactly what you wanted to do at first, but like you had an idea. It was more like intuitive, I guess, right? Is that?
Well, first, it wasn't my idea. Somebody was like, here, you should do this thing. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll do this thing. And it didn't necessarily make sense, but I was like, fuck it, let's do this thing. It'll be fun. And then I eventually like took more ownership of it, which is why it's now called The Catherine Dunn Show, because when I would edit, I would be like, also, well, I'll get to why it's that, but also part of it is because when I would edit, it'd be like, do I like this? Does it stay? Like, should it stay? And it's like, no. You make the decision, like just edit it in or edit it out, like just, you know, like it's your show. It just made it easier because I don't know, editing is hard. And then it's like, oh, does this person want this edited? It's like you can't think about that right now, like you have a deadline. Do you want it in? I don't know.
Yeah, you're talking about when you were with the station and you needed it up by a certain day and stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Like it had to be in by a certain time or it wasn't going to air this week. And it has to air this week because I have Roberto de Jesus. He is amazing. And he wraps up, he does a weekly wrap down where he wraps up the entire week's news. And he does it as wrap. And you can check out Supreme Bars NYC, where he has like a monthly or weekly rap battle. So I highly recommend that. But here he is doing this work. I have to get this in on time. Like he's my motivation to get things in on time because it won't make sense next week. And he did so much work to get it done on time. Like now you have to get it on time, but it was fun. So, you know, it wouldn't be an hour. It'd be like an hour and 2 hours or 20 minutes. And I'd have to cut it down with very little time to do that. So it'd be crazy middle of the night stuff. And then I would just be like, look, cut it or don't, you know, it has to be an hour. Just get it done.
So it was always pre-recorded? Because I know like at Radio Free Brooklyn, there was like pre-recorded shows and there was also live shows. I did a pre-recorded show too. I mean, I did it pretty much like this, only I added the Radio Free Brooklyn sponsors and then cut it down to 59 minutes and all that.
Yeah. It was actually live before the pandemic. It was live and then it couldn't be. So I was trying to just record for an hour sharp. Like that's it, just done. But then when it became an ensemble, so I basically just told everybody that was at my birthday party, if they want to come back next week, they can. And from that, I think, what is time anymore, but like maybe a year later or two, I don't know what time is. there's like a handful of people that do the show regularly. Like that are
like reoccurring guests that you talk to and that.
Not even, it's just become a group. Like the Catherine Dunn Show is not me. It is Elaine Vadio. Matt Capazzi, Cece, Roberto de Jesus, my mom is on the show and she's in Greece right now. Sometimes Bull, who's my partner, and then a musical guest. You know,
so it's like, it's more like it just has the name The Catherine Dunn Show, but you feel like it's more than just your show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely not my, it's just called that. And I call it TKDS because I don't even like calling it my name. It was something, so I pitched this idea a million years ago. It was like 2015, give or take. And it was called Anything Could Happen. And the idea is that. And the person that I pitched this with was like, nah, we're going to call it The Catherine Dunn Show. And I'm like, oh, why?
I guess it has like a catchier name, like the Catherine Dunn
Show, maybe.
Yeah,
right. But if you look, like it's my name, so I don't necessarily like hearing it, but I want to. So I was like, all right, let's do this, let's try it. I don't,
so do you think feel like you'd be able to, if someone asked you like what your show is, you'd be able to like narrow it down like in a few sentences, or do you think it's like a lot of different things
right now?
Yeah,
like what is it, what is the Catherine Dunn Show today?
Yeah.
Ugh. It is a crazy thing that lasts an hour. No, it's not. Yeah. I don't even know. It has segments. It's a segmented show on now YouTube where my mom is there. My mom actually does the show. I kind of love that my mom.
Like she gets in and she talks, or she, what does she do? Nice.
There's a segment called Ask Mom where you get to ask my mom anything. And I'm trying to talk to her about doing a cooking segment because she wants to do cooking. Like she's good at it. She's into it. And I think that she should share it. I also want to do something called Three Generations where it's my grandmother teaching me and my mom, or my mom teaching me and my grandmother. I won't be teaching them anything, how to make food, unless it's maybe crepes. I might be able to teach them one time, like how to make crepes. That's it.
Oh, yeah. So it has like different, you have a lot of like different segments and stuff rather than just one conversation. Like, yeah.
Yeah, totally. Like the first thing that we do is ASMR, but we complain about shit. Because I think it's funny, because it entertains me to complain about things while whispering. That's it. Like, I just like the idea of complaining at a whisper. But I also
wanted to sleep. Is it help people sleep, or?
I don't know. Maybe. But like, if you're filled with rage and you're like, I want to fucking burn my neighbors. I swear to God, there's like urine in the hallway. I think they put like, I think it's an attack because I can't imagine anything actually smells like that. Anyway, it actually turns out that the urine in the hallway may have been my cat.
Yeah, I think that kind of makes sense.
Thanks. I don't know. Did you like that? It was a noisy soda. It's not soda, it's coffee. But yeah, I don't know.
Oh, you drink coffee later in the day too? I do that a lot. Like,
we're both psychotic. You realize that, right? Like if you drink coffee after a certain hour, you're just a psycho.
Yeah, we're both. Yeah.
Okay.
But that's kind of like a niche family trait. Like we all drink a lot of coffee.
A niche niche?
Yeah. A niche niche. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But actually, I got a haircut today and the woman who cut my hair said that she could smell the coffee on me. I don't know.
What?
Yeah, I didn't know you could smell that on the, like, she thought I had a coffee with me, and I made her want to have coffee.
When was the last time you had coffee at this point?
Like a little bit before it.
Okay. Because, like, if it was days and you just emanate coffee over... Like, I don't know how to feel about that. Do you... All right, this might be TMI. I don't know what your show is about, but when you pee, does it smell like coffee?
I mean, I never really smell my pee too, but I think it just smells like regular pee. I don't know if I pee coffee. But...
I wonder if your nose blind to it, or I don't know. Like, I know for me, I don't always drink coffee, but when I do, my pee definitely has a coffee pee smell. Like, it's a different smell.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess I'll have to. Yeah, I haven't really spent a lot of time smelling my pee, so I don't know. Like, yeah.
Have you had asparagus and noticed a difference, or are you completely like pee blind?
I'm completely like pee blind. I'm not able to. Wow.
So interesting. Yeah. Like, I've never met a person who doesn't know if their pee smells different after asparagus.
But I guess knowing your pee is knowing yourself.
I don't know. What color is your pee?
I mean, I guess it's like pee color.
There's such a range. Like, have you seen Aviator?
I did the Scorsese movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I saw it a while ago.
Yeah. Do you remember the varying, like the different colors of pee? It wasn't just one apple juice.
I don't think so. Why? There's a scene where he pees and he.
Oh, there's like bottles, just bottles, like.
Oh, because he's in the plane. The.
He's kind of just like a recluse, shut in.
Yeah, because I remember it was about Howard Hughes or. The guy who like flew the plane first. I think he was like one of the first to fly the plane or something like that. Yeah.
And I think he got like paranoid about germs and. He didn't want to leave, and so he started peeing in bottles, and I don't know why he was peeing milk bottles, but he was peeing in milk bottles. Yeah. And then there was like a scene that it's just all these different milk bottles filled with pee, but none of the pee is the same color. Like, you know, somebody on that set had to take the time to make these different shades.
Was that because that was like accurate to what actually was that like accurate to what actually happened to him? Like, he had different color peas? Or?
I mean, all people do. You really? Might not know. Like, I want to now have a conversation with you again after yeah. this conversation.
Well, I just feel like I'd notice if, like, I'm peeing and then, like, all of a sudden it's purple.
No, that won't happen unless you have, like, an aggressive amount of beeps.
Really?
Yeah.
I like, thought it was always maybe. Just, like, yellow or clear. Like, yellow or clear. Like, that was...
There's clear, there's yellow. But, like, if you have crazy pills, like... herbal pills, you might have like a neon yellow pee.
Okay. No. I haven't had a lot of crazy herbal stuff, so maybe if I had more like or crazy herbal.
Or if you don't drink at all, it'll be like soy sauce. Like, if you don't drink any water, it might not be soy sauce, that's you're dead at that point, but it might be more like a whiskey. Like, it might more look like a whiskey more than like an apple juice. I don't know.
Well,
I definitely think that there's different degrees of pee, but I don't know why you don't know this.
Yeah, I don't know. I never thought I'd get into this. This is one topic I never thought I'd get into on the show.
I don't know what happened. I know it was me, and it had to do with coffee and pee.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And then I guess I kind of yes, I did the improv thing. I kind of yes ended it.
Here we are. Yeah. And I was like, what do you mean? You don't know if you smell different when you piss asparagus? And you're like, no. I'm like, that's insane. Have you no idea?
Oh, because of the coffee. That's how we got on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just so shocked that you were pee blind, completely pee blind.
Yeah. I mean, not even aware of the surroundings or the.
I worry that this conversation is now going to make you aware of pee, and I've now ruined your life because you're now going to know what pee smells like. You're going to know what it looks like.
Yep. I'm going to dread it like every time because now it's going to be more in my head.
It's going to give you like kidney stones or something because you're going to hold it in because you won't want to pee. I don't know that you get kidney stones from that, but I think you get a UTI. I don't know.
Yeah. Or like it won't be good either way, like prostate problems or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
But you have like a comedy improv background, right? That's like your main, that's where you got started with stand up and then it kind of like, how did you get into, I know you talked a bit about like the imagination, but how did you first get into like stand up and improv, and like, have you learned anything over the years with that? Or
I hope so. I kind of didn't know that I should do it. I did improv in high school. It was a theater credit. I was like, cool, let's do it. Maybe I did it in college, I don't remember. But I carried a book with me and I would write things that I found funny down, and people would ask me if I did stand up and I'd be like, no. And they're like, well, what's your book? It's like, clearly you're taking notes, like it's clearly, you know, your notebook. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know, I just write in it. And I didn't know why I was doing it. I didn't know why I was writing things that entertained me or I thought were funny. Like, I had no idea what I was doing or why. And it's like, years later, I saw that scene in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel where she's like writing in her comedy book and she doesn't know that she's a comic yet. And then like one day I was just messing with people at work and I didn't know them and they didn't know me, but I just like completely, like I walked in and I pretended to be like in charge and telling them what they needed to do. And then I'm like, just kidding. I broke in here and I don't belong here, kind of a thing. And they're like, what? Like, then they're like feeling threatened because I'm not supposed to be there. And I'm like, no, I'm just kidding. I'm like, exactly. We're the same person. Like we're the same. We're supposed to be doing the same job. Like we're the same. Like I'm just messing with you. And I don't even know if I then did more things. Oh yeah. I think I did was like, and I'm a personal assistant to so-and-so. Like I just did like all that, like just kept changing my identity to them. And they like bought it every time for some reason. Like, okay, what's your deal? You obviously do comedy somewhere. I'm like, no, I could never walk into a room full of strangers and beyond like that. It's too scary. And they're like, you just did. And I was like, oh shit, touche, room full of strangers. And then I was like, okay, I know what to do. I want to do my first open mic and I want it to be bad, so I won't prepare anything. So we went from like, my friends and I were like in Pennsylvania working on this thing. And then we went to like, oh God, not Beauty Bar, Tiki. Otto Shrunken Head for like.
I did an episode on that a while ago with the DJ Pat Pervert. He does like the punk rock night. That was a way back. But...
That's funny. Yeah, like I knew everybody probably at some point, right?
Yeah,
has done something there. But yeah, I did my first ever stand up set there, and my first joke was dumb. But I was hoping that it would like, okay, it'll never be this bad. Like you have nothing prepared. It'll never be this bad. Just go and get that feeling done. Like, I don't know. I said something about like, you know, this is my first time. I'm having a hard time picturing naked, you know, can you take off your clothes or something like that? I don't even remember what it was or how I said it, but an actual human started to undress. And I was like, this is amazing. I don't know what this is, but I fucking love it.
And you just like thought of that on the spot and like, he took it.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember if that was like the one thing I planned or if that was like something that I said on the spot. I don't remember how it came to me or how long before I went on it came to me. I just remember that it worked and I didn't, that was not. Yeah. Yeah. And that's when I was like, okay, this is bizarre. I love it. I want to do this crazy shit. But then I went from that to like doing improv and then kind of like weave in and out. How about you?
Well, I got into acting after I did undergrad because like I studied. I'd always had an interest in acting, but I kind of fell out of it and got back into it like more in like my 20s and stuff. And I was doing the podcast like around the same time because I just wanted to do a show. Like I was listening to some other podcasts. I just thought it'd be interesting to do a show where I talk to interesting people. And then a couple of people just recommended improv for both of those things, like being more spontaneous on the podcast and for acting. So I just kind of got into it for that. And 2017 is when I got into improv. So, and then I started with Steve Ling's group, which is a meetup group on Meetup called Improv Now. And then I started doing more things at the Pit. And I just liked how, you know, it helps with being more spontaneous and conversation or like, podcast or acting, anything like that. So
okay, yeah, I don't know if we know each other from improv, because maybe like I know that I may have done, it's called Improv Now, right?
Yeah,
did you say that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I like I may have led one once.
You did stuff at the Pit?
Yes, but with Steve's thing too, the Improv Now thing.
Oh, you were there at this Improv Now?
Yeah, like I coached a session or more than one session of.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, this I don't. Thing. Yeah.
Or are you talking about Andy, the shows or the? Okay.
Well, there was like the drop-ins, and then there was like the shows too. Yeah, I did. I did like one of the indie teams on Sundays. I did a team called Folks About the Town. That was 2019.
Oh, yeah, nice.
But then someone at the Pit mentioned your show. And then I think that's how, like, because like someone was saying, like they did the editing on your show. I forget what her name was, though.
No, yeah. I wish they did the editing on my show. Tell them to come do the editing on my show.
Or like they were involved with your show. Or like she did it once and she said like that was her first experience with like a podcast. But I forget who it was. Like someone that knew you.
I thought you said it was Cynthia.
I think that was her name, but I don't know.
Yeah.
She goes to the Pit.
I don't know. I met her in this virtual world. So yeah.
Well, you know, and Donovan. It's weird. You know, Donovan Santa. She was friends. She knew Donovan because like the armory and stuff. So
yeah, it's kind of crazy because like I've during the pandemic doing this stuff, you have no idea where people are. And then kind of recentishly I've been doing some live things and you're seeing these people and it's like, oh, you were here the whole time. Like it felt so far, like everybody just felt so far and it's like you could literally be my neighbor.
Yeah, exactly. Well, even for me, because like the city, I'm in New Jersey, but like pretty close to the city and stuff. So
yeah. He does Dominic and I both will be at the Shillelagh on someday the 7th of February next month, Monday.
Oh, you've done like shows with his improv team, Donovan. Yeah, he's been on the show like way back.
He's doing things at Young Ethel's a lot.
Yeah, in the armory too, he does it.
Yeah. I've not done anything there or at the Tank, but I've done the Shillelagh stuff with Barracks, which is through the armory, and he does that as well, which is like every other Monday or something.
Yeah.
Give or take.
And you've been doing just mainly your radio show these days, or you've been doing acting like background too, and some improv for you?
Yeah, I was doing background kind of from August to December 16th. I was on something and we got there at like 7 something, and then by like 9 something or so, everybody had to like stop what they were doing and go get tested. Maybe it was 8, I don't remember, but like definitely like 7 something call. Sometime after that, stop everything, every single person on set, go get tested. And then we were wrapped by like 10 because somebody tested positive or something.
Oh, wow. And then you had to quarantine, or?
No, they didn't even tell us that somebody tested positive. So they're like, okay, we're wrapping early for COVID concerns. And then they're acting like they're, did I say what it was?
I forget what show. No, I don't think so.
Did I? Okay, good. So they're like, yeah, we're wrapping early. Like, I don't want to, if I was like, oh yeah, I was this, I feel bad. Cut it if you edit this. Anyway, yeah, they were like, we're wrapping early due to COVID concerns. Okay. And then I ask, you know, what does that mean? Did somebody test positive? And they're like, well, somebody did, but we don't know what department. I'm like, okay, well, why aren't we being told this kind of thing? But I don't want to be like all like, rah, rah, rah. And then what else? There was more. They were like, oh, well, it's just so close to the holidays that we want to let people like whatever, so they can see their family kind of a thing, like leave so they're safe or whatever. And we were going to go on a 2-week hiatus anyway, so we're just going on it early. Now, this is the same project that I was booked on last week that I tested for, but then I think it was like a Sunday that I tested. I was supposed to be working Tuesday, and then I got a call, a text Monday saying we're not doing it due to COVID concerns. And they're like, can you do it next Friday with a test on, I think, Wednesday or whatever. I don't even remember. And then I got a text on Tuesday saying like, sahibia mas, like it doesn't matter. Oh no, today's Wednesday, so it would have been Tuesday that I got this, saying like, yeah, you don't have to test tomorrow, because, you know, like, F you. We don't care, something COVID concern. So like, I don't know what's going on, but whatever I'm doing, whatever scene I'm doing, has like so many unimportant extra people. It's just like, I'm a car. Like, I think they just need me for my car, which I guess means that it's like too many bodies to justify the risk for the
shot. Your car is just part of like the consistency, or? Yeah.
You know, it's not, because I haven't gone, like the thing that I did on that day, nothing happened. Like, we didn't roll, like they didn't record, like nothing happened. We were just in a lot waiting to go. Then we were testing, and then we were waiting to go, and then we were wrapped. Like, that was the day.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, something's going on. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember a lot of, because I used to do a lot of background work, and now now I work two different jobs. I do like the video editing thing, and then like the other office job. But like, I used to do like a lot more like background. I think the last one I did was like 2020. I did a reenactment show, but like, I remember there were some days you just would show up, and then you'd still get, and then like it would end like so early, like in an hour, and then you'd get paid like for a full day, or you'd go and then it'd be like a longer day or something. Like, it just varied every time. But there was a lot of fun experiences with that. Like, you meet a lot of interesting people on the set, and it's cool to see like how the set works. And you see a lot of I don't know, just a lot of neat things. Well, it's cool to see like them film the show and all that too. But yeah, I remember I like Show Me a Hero was one of the first I worked on, HBO. That was like 2014 or so. So I did it for like a while.
I don't know that one.
Yeah. And Gotham was fun.
Oh, I can imagine. What'd you play on that?
It varied. Like, sometimes a couple of times I played one of the, like the Joker's minions, Jerome's minions.
I had a feeling it was going to be something fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really fun. And I think it was like, and then we smashed up the police station. That was a fun thing to do. And then also cheering on the fight, like when
a location, or was it a set?
It was like a set. It was like, because it had to say Gotham PD and all that. So,
okay, so it was like a sound studio.
Yeah, fake police. Yeah,
completely fake, like built, not like a police station that they just put different labels on.
No, it was like completely, because it was at that studio where they film it all. It's kind of like further out in Brooklyn. I forget where it is exactly. It's Steiner Studios. I think. What?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did in Just Like That.
Well, I remember one time there was the Gotham was shooting and then Joker was shooting right next to it. And I think I was on Gotham while they were shooting Joker right next to. So it was like two different Batman worlds right next to each other.
Huh. I wonder what that felt like for some. Like, is it saturated at this point or are we here for it?
Yeah.
Obviously, we're here for it. But I wonder, like, working on it, you don't know. You don't know how it's going to be received.
Like, the Joker? No.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, if you're, all right, imagine you're in Steiner and you're just, like, kind of working on these projects, whatever. Maybe you're not, like, you're just, like, involved. You just know that you're in Steiner and that, like, Joker's happening and so is Gotham. And it's basically two things about kind of the Joker, but differently. And it's, like, is this world of Batman oversaturated? Are we oversaturating the market with Batman? Or is it time for this much Batman? You know, like, You don't know because it hasn't come out yet. But obviously, Joker did well.
Yeah, and I was thinking, well, because it was like a different take on it, and it was like something, I guess it's one of those things you could always do like something different with. Like, I was thinking like, oh, there's so much Batman, not, and then they're going to do the Batman, but then it's like, I saw the trailer for the Batman, the one that's coming out, it looks awesome, so I don't know.
I saw something today with George Clooney and Ben Affleck pretending, gotta make sure it's not Matt Damon, because I'm like, I flipped them. Yeah, and they were pretending that like, you know, that they didn't know who they were, like, oh, you know, what made you decide to work on this movie? Well, I had to Google who he was first, you know, like, clearly they're joking because they're Ben Affleck and George Clooney. But then at one point George Clooney said something like, hey, I was Batman or something, and then like Ben Affleck didn't say anything, and I was like, did they forget that they were both Batman? Like,
yeah,
or
I think
he don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I think it was like mixed received though. Ben Affleck, right? Is Batman like some, or was he, or did he get a good response overall?
I'm pretty sure. Wasn't Ben Affleck the one in Batman and Robin?
Ben Affleck was Batman versus Superman, and then he was in the Justice League.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
They did a Batman versus Superman recently.
No. What? I didn't know that one. I don't even know that exists.
Yeah, because he was more recently a Batman. And then...
BSing with...
Who?
BSing with...
What?
BSing with Sean K. BSing with...
Who?
BSing with...
What?
BSing with Sean K. BSing with...
Who?
BSing with...
Welcome to BSing with Sean K. I'm your host, Sean Neese. On this show, I talk to people pursuing their creative and intellectual passions from all walks of life. And on this episode, I'm talking to Catherine Dunn. She is an actress, comedian, and the host of The Catherine Dunn Show. So thank you for coming on, and I'll let you take the floor and further introduce yourself.
Oh, why, thank you. Thank you for... I heard your name correctly the other day when you apparently butt dialed me. My machine said Sean Neese is calling, and I was like, oh, I've been saying that wrong.
Oh wow. Oh, so the machine knew how to pronounce my name then. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I feel quite silly.
Well, some people think it's like Canise or Nisi or something like that. But Neese, like, yeah, I'm always surprised when people get it right though, like, because a lot of people wouldn't know the silent K, but
it makes perfect sense. But I was like, oh, it's probably something crazy, like one of these things, like you got to work hard, like it's going to be Canise or Nisi, like, yeah. Canise. I didn't even know. It was like, I probably went Canise. I probably went all out, like, just let's pull all the stops.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's why I just figured Sean K was easier for the show, because it's just like easy to remember Sean K. So
it works.
Yeah. And you got Catherine Dunn, I guess, which is kind of easy to remember, so
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one though, apparently. So.
Oh, I have seen other. Yeah, I saw there was another Catherine Dunn on YouTube that's like been interviewed about stuff. Yeah,
it's kind of funny because she's almost the opposite. Like, blonde hair, brown eyes, cheerleader.
So how did you, I guess, just tell us about how all the stuff you do and like how you got into it.
Wow. I don't know. I think it's just something you did it as a kid too, right?
Well, like pretend stuff.
Yeah, and then you just never grew out of it.
I mean, kind of, pretty much. Yeah. Imagine it using your imagination, and And then as an adult, you try to find ways. Then you trying to find ways to use your imagination in a lucrative way, I guess.
Well, if you're a smart adult, you try to find ways to use your imagination in a lucrative way. And if you're a ridiculous adult like myself, you just find ways to just continue to use your imagination.
Yeah.
How do you, I should learn something from you. Teach me how to do it in a lucrative way. But yeah, just that, you know, like I even had this toy radio thing that I would make radio with like sound effects and like do like sci-fi stuff. You know, that my grandfather got me.
Yeah, I did something like, similar too with like toys. Yeah. Like I'd have the Sean show and stuff as a kid. And now it's the BSing with Sean K show as an adult. So
do you have footage like or
No, I mean I have the movies I made as a kid when I was like Tyco video camera when I'd run around and like
do
videos with the toys. And then I'd play different characters. I'd put on a wig and I'd be like, oh no. And stuff like that.
I need to see this.
Yeah.
Like one of your episodes should just be you showing that.
Yeah. It'd be like a video only episode or the audio listeners might be a little confused, but
well, I don't know. I like doing visual radio, so I'm a monster.
Yeah, because we were I used to be with Radio Free Brooklyn too, and you were Radio Free Brooklyn too. Is that where you got your start with your show? Or
it was something that I came up with before, and then I did something completely different with Radio Free Brooklyn, and then during the pandemic it became what it is, which is some hybrid of things. But yes, that is how it wouldn't exist if I wasn't doing the show before the pandemic and then kind of finding using my imagination to find a way to continue to do it throughout the pandemic.
Yeah, but so what is this? The show's kind of like, I've listened to some of it, it's like shooting the shit kind of like this with like different, do you have different guests or like what's the format?
Well, it's changed over time. So originally the format was I would be late and then somebody would host my show for me. It was a character played by me, but it was also storytelling. So honest, true storytelling hosted by a ridiculous person, character. I don't know. That was like the original thing. Then I don't know. It kind of like just shifted into just me and my co-host kind of whatevering. Then me and my partner kind of whatevering, then just different people coming in and whatevering live. Like it was just, you know, there were call-ins and whatever would happen. And then during the pandemic, I was almost forced to like listen to it. And I was like, I am not entertained. So I had to change it. And I was forced to like try and entertain myself. I don't know.
So now you're trying to switch it with more of a theme. Before it was just more talking about whatever.
Yeah, like I would just go in and we would exist on air for an hour, you know, and then during the pandemic I wanted it to feel like here's a conversation that's existing for an hour and that was it. And then I kind of added formats to it, like started adding segments because I was like, oh, I want to do this, want to try this. And I don't know why. I don't know if it was like I want it to be like this thing that I came up with a long time ago, but I started doing segments, I guess to entertain myself because I was listening to it. And I'm like, I don't like this. This is boring me. Like, so I don't know. And then I did a birthday show. Every year I do a birthday show in real life, or I would do a birthday show in real life where people would come and ask me questions and I would answer the questions for the entire, however long the show lasted would be me answering the questions that the people came and wrote to be answered. And I loved it. I actually got the idea because I saw my friend Dan Abrams do it. Not that one, just another Dan Abrams do it. And I was like, oh, that's brilliant. And I asked him, I'm like, can I do this thing? Because I like it. And he was like, yeah, I don't care. I was like, cool. I don't even know if he remembers this conversation because it was so long ago, but I've been doing it ever since. And it's Catherine Dunn turns 21.
Oh, nice.
Which is how old I am, no matter how many times I've done the show. but yeah, then that, I had a bunch of people on to do it and it felt weird to even talk about yourself during a pandemic. It's like, I just don't want it. I don't want to do this. It's just like, why? But my friend's like, do it. And this is my good friend, Elaine. And I was like, all right, fine. She thought I was depressed. Cause I'm like, there's no point. Like why I wouldn't, you know, like she thought I was like saying like there's no purpose to having a party, like what's there to celebrate? And I was just saying like, no, it just seems so self-indulgent to talk about oneself right now when everything is so crazy in the world. But then it was posed as like, well, what if you give people a like ticket to imagination land for a minute, you know, instead of not, you know, instead of like,
you mean dealing with reality. It's like an escape from what was going on, kind of like just so you tell like funny. It sounds like you do a lot of experimenting with the show, like trying different things, kind of. Yeah,
I definitely experiment a lot. Let's call it that. Can't commit. Experimenting, yeah. Sure. But that was, yeah, I just wanted it to feel like hanging out in real life. Like it felt like hanging out in real life, even though we were all in our weird little boxes and our own personal spaces and like, you know, our own environments. It felt to some degree like we were hanging out in real life again.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, one of the appeals of podcasts is that kind of like conversational feel. I think that's why there's like the picture of the guy listening to the pod, like he's looking at this picture of people talking. It's like what it feels like listening to a podcast. Like he's listening, but he can't join in. Like,
like Double Dutch, but he never gets to play.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of the same with my show, like, you know, gradually, organically developed, like, just like, but for me, it was always like a different guest each week that I talked to. So I guess like, for me, it's always been a way to kind of get out of myself. Like, and out of my head, like to learn about somebody else and like kind of talk to them about what they do and everything. But yeah, it's been a wide variety of people on the show though. So
what do you look for when you choose, like when you're asking someone?
I guess like out of the box. I mean, I guess like, well, you're like a lot of the guests, like, I guess like just kind of like doing the comedy thing out, like outside the box, I guess. Or like recently before this, it was like a painter. And she also like does guitar and she's like a metal person, or like a while ago, like a psychic who does tarot readings and also like does other things as well. Just, or like this one guy who's an actor, and he like he saw a UFO on his reservation. He's Apache. He saw a UFO on his reservation. So just like people with, you know, unusual perspectives, that kind of thing.
I would want to hear that. What episode, do you know offhand what episode that is? That's crazy.
It was like not too long ago. It was like a year ago or so. But if you go back, it'll say like UFOs and all that. Like I've been putting the topics that are discussed, nice, to kind of draw people in.
That's smart. I definitely did not do anything enticing with any of it. I should have. Smart.
Yeah, I think it takes a while to like find your voice and like what you want to do and that kind of thing. Like sometimes it takes a lot of trial and error. That's what's cool about, like, I guess like with your own show, like that's kind of what it sounds like you were doing, is like you didn't know exactly what you wanted to do at first, but like you had an idea. It was more like intuitive, I guess, right? Is that,
well, first it wasn't my idea. Somebody was like, here, you should do this thing, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll do this thing. And it didn't necessarily make sense, but I was like, fuck it, let's do this thing, it'll be fun. And then I eventually like took more ownership of it, which is why it's now called The Catherine Dunn Show. Because when I would edit, I would be like, also, well, I'll get to why it's that, but also part of it is because when I would edit, it'd be like, do I like this? Does it stay? Like, should it stay? And it's like, no, you make the decision. Like, just edit it in or edit it out. Like, just, you know, like it's your show. It just made it easier because I don't know, editing is hard. And then it's like, oh, does this person want this edited? It's like, you can't think about that right now. Like, you have a deadline. Do you want it in? I don't know.
Yeah, you're talking about when you were with the, when you were with the station and you needed it up by a certain day and stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it had to be in by a certain time or it wasn't going to air this week, and it has to air this week because I have Roberto de Jesus. He is amazing, and he wraps up. He does a weekly wrap down where he wraps up the entire week's news, and he does it as rap. And you can check out Supreme Bars NYC, where he has like a monthly or weekly rap battle. So I highly recommend that. But here he is doing this work. I have to get this in on time. Like, he's my motivation to get things in on time, because it won't make sense next week. And he did so much work to get it done on time. Like, now you have to get it on time. But it was fun. So, you know, it wouldn't be an hour, it would be like an hour and 2 hours or 20 minutes, and I'd have to cut it down with very little time to do that. So it would be crazy middle of the night stuff. And then I would just be like, look, cut it or don't, you know, it has to be an hour, just get it done.
So it was always pre-recorded, because I know like at Radio Free Brooklyn, there was like pre-recorded shows and there was also live shows. I did a pre-recorded show too. I mean, I did it pretty much like this, only I added the Radio Free Brooklyn sponsors and then cut it down to 59 minutes and all that.
Yeah. It was actually live before the pandemic. It was live, and then it couldn't be. So I was trying to just record for an hour sharp. Like, that's it, just done. But then when it became an ensemble, so I basically just told everybody that was at my birthday party, if they want to come back next week, they can. And from that, I think, what is time anymore, but like maybe a year later or two, I don't know what time is. there's like a handful of people that do the show regularly. Like that are
like reoccurring guests that you talk to and that.
Not even, it's just become a group. Like the Catherine Dunn Show is not me. It is Elaine Vadio, Matt Capazzi, Cece, Roberta De Jesus. My mom is on the show and she's in Greece right now. Sometimes Bull, who's my partner, and then a musical guest.
So it's like it's more like it just has the name The Catherine Dunn Show, but you feel like it's more than just your show.
Yeah. It's definitely not my, it's just called that. And I call it TKDS because I don't even like calling it my name. It was something, so I pitched this idea a million years ago. It was like 2015, give or take. And it was called Anything Could Happen. And the idea is that. And the person that I pitched this with was like, nah, we're going to call it The Catherine Dunn Show. And I'm like, oh, why?
I guess it has like a catchier name, like the Catherine Dunn
Show. Maybe.
Yeah.
Right. But if you look, like, it's my name, so I don't necessarily like hearing it, but I want to. So I was like, all right, let's do this. Let's try it.
So do you feel like you'd be able to, if someone asked you like what your show is, you'd be able to like narrow it down like in a few sentences, or do you think it's like a lot of different things?
Right now?
Yeah.
Like, what is it? What is the Catherine Dunn Show today?
Yeah.
Ugh. It is a crazy thing that lasts an hour. No, it's not. Yeah. I don't even know. It has segments. It's a segmented show on now YouTube where my mom is there. My mom actually does the show. I kind of love that my mom.
Like she gets in and she talks, or she, what does she do? Nice.
There's a segment called Ask Mom where you get to ask my mom anything. And I'm trying to talk to her about doing a cooking segment because she wants to do cooking. Like she's good at it. She's into it. And I think that she should share it. I also want to do something called Three Generations where it's my grandmother teaching me and my mom, or my mom teaching me and my grandmother. I won't be teaching them anything, how to make food, unless it's maybe crepes. I might be able to teach them one time, like how to make crepes. That's it.
Oh. Yeah, so it has like different, you have a lot of like different segments and stuff rather than just one conversation, like yeah
totally. Like the first thing that we do is ASMR, but we complain about shit because I think it's funny, because it entertains me to complain about things while whispering. That's it. Like I just like the idea of complaining at a whisper. But I also
help people sleep, or
maybe. But like, if you're filled with rage and you're like, I want to fucking burn my neighbors, I swear to God, there's like urine in the hallway. I think they put like I think it's an attack because I can't imagine anything actually smells like that. Anyway, it actually turns out that the urine in the hallway may have been my cat.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that kind of makes sense.
Thanks. I don't know. It's not soda, it's coffee. But yeah, I don't know.
Oh, you drink coffee later in the day too? I do that a lot. Like,
we're both psychotic, you realize that, right? Like if you drink coffee after a certain hour, you're just a psycho.
Yeah, we're both. Yeah.
Okay,
but that's kind of like a niche family trait, like we all drink a lot of coffee.
A niche niche.
Yeah, a niche niche. Nice. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. But actually, I got a haircut today, and the the woman who cut my hair said that she could smell the coffee on me. I don't know.
What?
Yeah, I didn't know you could smell that on the, like, she thought I had a coffee with me, and I made her want to have coffee.
When was the last time you had coffee at this point?
It, like a little bit before it.
Okay. Because, like, if it was days and you just emanate coffee over... like, I don't know how to feel about that. Do you... All right, this might be TMI. I don't know what your show is about. But when you pee, does it smell like coffee?
I mean, I never really smell my pee too, but I think it just smells like regular pee. I don't know if I pee coffee. But...
I wonder if your nose blind to it. Or, I don't know. Like, I know for me, I don't always drink coffee, but when I do, my pee definitely has a coffee pee smell. Like, it's a different smell.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess I'll have to... Yeah, I haven't really spent a lot of time smelling my pee, so I don't know. Like, yeah.
Have you had asparagus and noticed a difference, or are you completely, like, pee blind?
I'm completely, like, pee blind. I'm not able to... Wow.
So interesting. Yeah. Like, I've never met a person who doesn't know if their pee smells different after asparagus.
Hmm. But I guess knowing your pee is knowing yourself.
I don't know. What color is your pee?
I mean, I guess it's like pee color.
There's such a range. Like, have you seen Aviator?
I did the Scorsese movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I saw it a while ago.
Yeah. Do you remember the varying, like, the different colors of pee? It wasn't just one apple juice.
I don't think so. Why? There's a scene where he pees and he.
Oh, there's like bottles, just bottles, like.
Oh, because he's in the plane. The.
He's kind of just like a recluse, shut in.
Yeah, because I remember it was about Howard Hughes or. The guy who like flew the plane first. I think he was like one of the first to fly the plane or something like that. Yeah.
And I think he got like paranoid about germs and. He didn't want to leave, and so he started peeing in bottles, and I don't know why he was peeing milk bottles, but he was peeing in milk bottles. Yeah. And then there was like a scene that is just all these different milk bottles filled with pee, but none of the pee is the same color. Like, you know, somebody on that set had to take the time to make these different shades.
Was that because that was like accurate to what actually was that like accurate to what actually happened to him? Like, he had different color pees? Or?
I mean, all people do. You really? Might not know. Like, I want to now have a conversation with you again after this conversation.
Well, I just feel like I'd notice if, like, I'm peeing and then, like, all of a sudden it's purple.
No, that won't happen unless you have, like, an aggressive amount of beeps.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was always just, like, yellow or clear. Like, that was...
There's clear, there's yellow. But, like, if you have crazy pills, like... herbal pills, you might have like a neon yellow pee.
Okay. No. I haven't had a lot of crazy herbal stuff, so maybe if I had more like crazy herbal.
Or if you don't drink at all, it'll be like soy sauce. Like, if you don't drink any water, it might not be soy sauce, you're dead at that point, but it might be more like a whiskey. Like, it might more look like a whiskey more than like an apple juice. I don't know.
Well,
I definitely think that there's different degrees of pee, but I don't know why you don't know this.
Yeah, I don't know. I never thought I'd get into this. This is one topic I never thought I'd get into on the show.
I know it was me, and it had to do with coffee and pee.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And then I guess I did the improv thing. I kind of yes anded it.
Here we are. Yeah. And I was like, what do you mean? You don't know if you smell different when you piss asparagus? And you're like, no. I'm like, that's insane. Have you no idea?
Oh, because of the coffee. That's how we got on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just so shocked that you were pee blind, completely pee blind.
Yeah. I mean, not even aware of the surroundings
I worry that this conversation is now going to make you aware of pee, and I've now ruined your life because you're now going to know what pee smells like. You're going to know what it looks like.
Yep. I'm going to dread it like every time because now it's going to. be more in my head.
It's gonna give you like kidney stones or something because you're gonna hold it in because you won't want to pee. I don't know that you get kidney stones from that, but I think you get a UTI. I don't know.
Yeah, or like it'll mess. It won't be good either way. Like prostate problems or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
But you have like a comedy improv background, right? That's like your main. That's where you got started with stand up, and then it kind of like, how did you get into? I know you talked a bit about like the imagination, but how did you first get into like stand up and improv, and like, have you learned anything over the years with that? Or
I hope so. I kind of didn't know that I should do it. I did improv in high school. It was a theater credit. I was like, cool, let's do it. Maybe I did it in college. I don't remember. But I carried a book with me and I would write things that I found funny down. And people would ask me if I did stand up and I'd be like, no. And they're like, well, what's your book? It's like, clearly you're taking notes. Like, it's clearly, you know, your notebook. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I just write in it. And I didn't know why I was doing it. And I didn't know why I was writing things that entertained me or I thought were funny. Like, I had no idea what I was doing or why. And it's like years later, I saw that scene in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel where she's like writing in her comedy book and she doesn't know that she's a comic yet. And then like one day I was just messing with people at work and I didn't know them and they didn't know me, but I just like completely, like I walked in and I pretended to be like in charge and telling them what they needed to do. And then I was like, just kidding. I broke in here and I don't belong here kind of a thing. And they're like, what? Like, then they're like feeling threatened because I'm not supposed to be there. And I'm like, no, I'm just kidding. I'm like, exactly. We're the same person. Like we're the same. We're supposed to be doing the same job. Like we're the same. Like I'm just messing with you. And I don't even know if I then did more things. Oh yeah, I think I did was like, and I'm a personal assistant to so-and-so. Like I just did like all the, like just kept changing my identity to them. And they like bought it every time for some reason. Like, okay, what's your deal? You obviously do comedy somewhere. I'm like, no, I could never walk into a room full of strangers and beyond like that. It's too scary. And they're like, you just did. I was like, oh shit, touche, room full of strangers. And then I was like, okay, I know what to do. I want to do my first open mic and I want it to be bad, so I won't prepare anything. So we went from like, my friends and I were like in Pennsylvania working on this thing. And then we went to like, oh God, not Beauty Bar, Tiki, God, Auto Shrunkenhead for like,
oh, I mean, the- yeah, I did an episode on that a while ago with the DJ Pat Pervert. He does like the punk rock night. That was a way back. But-
That's funny. Yeah, like I knew everybody probably at some point, right?
Yeah.
Has done something there. But yeah, I did my first ever stand-up set there. And my first joke was dumb. But I was hoping that it would like, okay, it'll never be this bad. Like you have nothing prepared. It'll never be this bad. Just go and get that feeling done. Like, I don't know. I said something about like, you know, this is my first time. I'm having a hard time picturing naked. You know, can you take off your clothes or something like that? I don't even remember what it was or how I said it, but an actual human started to undress and I was like, this is amazing. I don't know what this is, but I fucking love it.
And you just like thought of that on the spot and like he took it.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember if that was like the one thing I planned or if that was like something that I said on the spot. I don't remember how it came to me or how long before I went on it came to me. I just remember that it worked. And I didn't, that was not, yeah. Yeah, and that's when I was like, okay, this is bizarre. I love it. I want to do this crazy shit. But then I went from that to like doing improv and then kind of like weave in and out. How about you?
Well, I got into acting after I did undergrad because like I studied, I'd always had an interest in acting, but I kind of fell out of it then got back into it like more in like my 20s and stuff. And I was doing the podcast like